the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
There are reckoned to be more than 20,000 cryptocurrencies in existence, and even that is a thumbsuck. It's fairly safe to say that most of these are junk. The crypto market's full of pump and dump schemes where the project initiators attempt to get rich by offloading coins to naive speculators after convincing them that this is the next Bitcoin. Sadly, the crypto space is wide open to this kind of abuse. Of course, not all cryptocurrencies are junk. Some are trying to solve real-world problems such as faster and cheaper transactions to compete with banks and credit card companies, or by converting real-world assets into tokens so that people of limited means can acquire tiny fractions of assets like real estate or solar farms. We discussed that last week with Maurice Crespi of law firm Schindler's. RiskBlock is an interesting South African company that allows investors to make sense of the crypto market by providing data on some 3,000 cryptocurrencies that can be filtered according to various criteria such as market cap, volatility, and liquidity. You don't want to be buying an asset that you then struggle to sell. And it's using some exciting AI tools to help investors better identify opportunities and weed out the fluff. We're joined by RiskBlock founder and CEO Nswasiza Chidembo to get a reading on the current state of the cryptocurrency market. Hi Nswasiza, can we start there by taking a thermometer reading of the current state of the crypto market in terms of the number of coins and where we should be focusing our attention? You're no doubt aware that there's a growing community of Bitcoin maximalists who would argue we should only really be paying attention to Bitcoin and ignore the rest. What do you say to them?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kieran. And, you know, where I'd like to start off from is just more so to say that 2024 has definitely been a year of change for crypto and digital assets alike. The rollout of several ETFs that are backed by digital assets has really changed the landscape. Not only that, it has more so brought about trust within this ecosystem by allowing incumbent players such as fund managers and institutional investors to start growing their exposure towards this new asset class. And it is quite exciting. And to speak about how much fluff there is in this ecosystem. You mentioned that there are more than 20,000 digital assets that are available. Our count at this present stage is more than 65,000. So there is definitely a lot of activity. And because there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of risk associated with that. And at RiskBlock, we really focus our attention on trying to assist professional investors in making their way and navigating through all this fluff to really identify true value within this ecosystem, because there is true value. The ETFs that were launched from a Bitcoin perspective were the most successful ETFs ever recorded in history, which really speaks to the importance of this new asset class. And for those that say we only need Bitcoin within this ecosystem, I think they are more so looking at this new development of digital assets in a very narrow lens. The technology behind these cryptocurrencies and digital assets, which is blockchain technology, is more so ubiquitous in nature. And one can compare it to the early days of the internet and how there was still a very narrow view of what the internet could do by allowing players to be able to send email and browse a few websites, if we look at what the internet can do and does for us on a day-to-day basis now, very few could have imagined just the impact it would have in our day-to-day lives. And it is our view at Risk Block that we are in the early days still of this technology, and more use cases will begin to emerge as this ecosystem evolves and develops over time, bringing about the importance to really understand the underlying risks that are associated with this new asset class.
Right, we'll get back to Risk Block in a minute, but tell us about your background and how did you get started with Risk Block? How did you come up with the idea?
A number of years ago, I used to be a mobile payments researcher on the African continent, getting to understand how the legislative structures of different markets had an impact on the proliferation of mobile payments was more so my focus area. And through that discovery process, I came to more so the realization that even though mobile payments were quite popular within several markets on the African continent, there was still a lot of friction that was present. And I started asking myself the question, what is next? What can further improve the financial landscape for the continent and bring about inclusion for the majority of the population when it comes to more so being involved within the financial ecosystem? And so through this research, I came across blockchain technology and, of course, Bitcoin. Went through, I think, the journey that most people have of really getting deep into the technology, getting deep into the use case, and started to realize that there was more to this technology and started to realize the qualities that it had of being foundational in terms of what our future financial systems might look like. And since that moment that I realized this, I really started sinking my teeth in to this technology, learning the technology side, implementing use cases, sharing what I was learning with others. However, it was only after a few years where I actually had the opportunity of assisting another founder build a crypto business from the ground up, and on the other side, also another founder, I assisted them in scaling their operations from a Web3 perspective. And thereafter, I got the opportunity to launch a Risk Block myself as a business to answer this question of how professional investors can evaluate the risk posture of these digital assets. So it's been a really interesting journey for me. I think, you know, I started this journey as far off as it should have been around 2014 thereabout. So it's been a really, really interesting journey to come this far and see the landscape evolve, see the landscape go through different challenges, but also see the number of wins that the landscape has also had.
I played around with Risk Block, and it does have some pretty interesting features. For example, you can rank cryptos according to some of the usual metrics, such as market cap and liquidity, but you also have a score for utility, and I found this pretty interesting. In other words, you can measure how useful a coin is. And then you have a scoring system for other things like counterparties, compliance, and various other measures. How did you arrive at this? And how, for example, do you measure something like utility, which is the usefulness of a coin?
Yeah, thanks a lot for that question, Kieran. And this is where more so the passion for answering this question of how to evaluate digital assets really comes in. So as a team, we spend a lot of time and a lot of hours having conversations with some of the top institutional investors when it comes to digital assets, not only from South Africa, but from all over the world. Our quest was to really get an understanding of how the best of the breed within our industry evaluate risk when it comes to this new asset class. And so it was a quite grueling exercise, but it was very rewarding. And our process was to understand how a fund manager or an investor assess on-chain risk. So this is more so looking at the data points that are available about a specific digital asset that sit on the blockchain itself, the likes of volatility, market capitalization, and so on. But also we started to get to understand how they also evaluate off-chain risk. So these are data points that impact the performance or stature of a specific digital asset that don't necessarily sit on the blockchain, such as looking at how healthy the market in which a digital asset is trying to address is at any given moment, or looking at the team behind a specific digital asset. Do they have a good track record? Are they reputable and the like? And our focus was to source all these different data sets, simplify it into a very understandable and standardized methodology of scoring, and then provide these scores to the professional investors in such a way that they can filter and evaluate these scores with their own objective in mind, i.e. some investors for a certain scenario might be seeking a lot of volatility, while others might be seeking very little volatility, but allowing them to be able to actually compare peer-to-peer digital assets and filter out the noise and focus on the digital assets that more so meet their investment thesis at any given time. You spoke about utility score, and I think this was one of our learnings as we began this journey, that not all professional investors evaluate a certain aspect of the digital asset the same. So what we started doing on the platform is more so defining the perspective of a specific score or risk score that we provide. So in this instance, utility, we are looking very much so at how many exchanges a specific digital asset is available on. But we are also very cognizant as a team that these definitions will continue to evolve as we continue learning more and more from the professional investors and the best in the breed within the space. And it will most likely get to a point where some of these scores will actually become unbundled as we start looking at specific perspectives from a scoring and a risk angle that are crucial for professional investors and institutional investors to be able to make a valuation of the risk structure and posture of a specific digital asset.
What market are you aiming at? Is it the professional investor, the trader? You mentioned institutions. Is it the casual retail investor? Who are you aiming at?
So with our product, we are more so looking at the institutional investor. So this is a fund manager who is deploying capital for their fund and providing some exposure towards digital assets. What we have learned over time is that the trader, who is more so very active in terms of, an execution count perspective per month within the market, tends to really more so zone in on the micro aspects of the market. However, with institutional investors, they tend to have a longer time horizon, and their strategy is built as such. And because of that, they are very keen to understand more about not only the on-chain risks associated with their digital asset, but also the off-chain risk that's associated with this asset class. Not only that, they are also very active in managing their treasury in such a way as to minimize risk and maximize returns. And so they are also very keen to know the risk the risk posture of, for instance, a stable coin that they will be holding some of their reserves in at any given moment. And we, as a team, we try to provide that holistic view of on-chain as well as off-chain risks to help them build out that strategy when it comes to more so exposing their capital towards digital assets.
And are you getting attention from overseas investors? I mean, it does seem what you're offering is fairly unique. I haven't come across anything like this before. What you're offering does seem to be to have an international appeal.
Yes. So I think you're definitely onto an important point there. And we have been getting interest from international investors, but not only that. We've been getting, I think, interest from the customer base that we are targeting. So one stat that for us is quite important was that out of the 11 Bitcoin ETF players that rolled out the ETFs in the US, as a team, we were actually engaged with six of them in framing the core approach of our risk scoring engine at RiskBlock. So we have witnessed a lot of interest from the US, a lot of interest from Europe as well, and quite a bit of interest from the African continent, this being Nigeria, Kenya, as well as South Africa. However, it is our view that the South African market is still developing, and there is definitely much more momentum with what we have seen in Europe and in the US with the launch of these digital asset based ETFs and the interest that we have seen coming from that as well.
You mentioned that some of the investors are looking for volatility, and of course a lot of people who are traders would love the volatility that you find in something like a Solana or a Bitcoin. whereas others, institutions, they might be looking for something a little bit more stable, a stable coin, for example. What seems to be the demand amongst the institutional investors that you're talking to? Are they looking for a mix of volatility, or are they looking for something a bit more stable?
Yeah, I think it's what we have seen is that it's quite clear that institutional investors, especially more so fund managers that come from the traditional setup, they are not too keen on a lot of volatility, and they are not too keen on exploring a wide range in terms of the universe of digital assets. They definitely have a very focused view on the likes of Bitcoin. However, when you start really starting to sink in and get to understand the dynamics, one of the cohorts of professional investors that we work with on the platform are hedge fund managers. And hedge fund managers are they are looking for bigger wins. And so you will find them having a wider a view and interest of the digital asset universe, and looking at some of the very niche digital assets and really getting to understand the themes that are emerging within the ecosystem and looking to see how they can gain exposure and get some of the rewards from some of the emerging themes within the ecosystem. So that's I think the big differentiator that we have seen in terms of approach between some of the traditional investors who are coming into this ecosystem and some of the hedge fund players who have been more so active within this ecosystem for a number of years.
You mentioned that you're counting 60,000 cryptocurrencies. Your system Risk Block measures 3,000 of those. So how do you filter out the other 50,000 or 55,000 that are of not much interest? And how do you settle on the 3,000 that you are going to follow and report on?
Yeah, so we started, I think, with a very simple approach in terms of more so capping our exposure based on market capitalization. What we realized within the market was that there was quite a lot of fluff and a lot of projects that, come up in 1 month, then maybe 2 months later, they are no longer active at all. So we more so leveraged the market capitalization indicator as a way of just filtering out the activity from that perspective and capping it at 3,000. Our focus, I think, going forward is actually to provide not a wider view of digital assets, but a deeper view of the top digital assets within the ecosystem. Simply because, as I mentioned, when it comes to institutional players, they are not too keen on a very wide universe of digital assets. And this has been a learning for us as a team as well, as we have embarked on these conversations with them, where we have clearly gotten the message from them that, you know what, it's more so about the depth of insights of the few top digital assets instead of a very wide range of insights on as many digital assets as possible.
Right. Where do you go from here in terms of development? It does seem that AI is playing a major role in assessing huge amounts of data. And I think in our previous discussion, you mentioned that is something that you are doing. And I would imagine one of the things that would probably be a logical progression for you would be indexing of cryptocurrencies. In other words, forming baskets rather like the JSE OLSI or something like that, but doing that in the crypto market. That, of course, is already available. A number of companies around the world are offering that, crypto bundles. Is that something that you see as a possibility for you?
Yeah, so in terms of leveraging AI for our solution, this is something that we are already doing as a team. One of the key learnings that we came across as we were speaking with professional investors and different analysts and fund managers is that, you know, each fund manager has quite a unique way of evaluating and assessing the market and building a thesis. And so one path that we could have taken was to have a platform that has thousands and thousands of different dashboards to try and answer for some of these unique questions that we were receiving from these professional investors. But the route that we have taken, which we feel is the more natural route, is to basically continue building our risk scoring engine that rates the digital assets, but then plug in our risk scoring engine into a natural language model, such as the likes of Chat GPT and Claude. And basically allow for an investor to be able to ask a question in natural language and then for the model to be able to evaluate and come to an answer based on the risk scoring engine that is that it's connected to or that it actually has exposure to from Risk Block. And this allows, you know, the investor to do really interesting things, such as, for instance, to allow them to go on chain, connect directly to a wallet that is available publicly on the chain, and be able to evaluate the risk posture of that wallet, and then generate a report, be it, you know, in CSV or PDF, which will allow them to then put it into some of their other tools that basically allows them to continue the evaluation. Where we are also leveraging AI is to actually build capability from an execution perspective, where we are building different agents, AI agents that have built specialities leveraging specific aspects of our risk scoring engine, and then allowing those agents to debate amongst themselves whether to increase exposure towards a specific digital asset or decrease exposure towards a specific digital asset. And they are making these decisions, you know, on on-chain data, you know, i.e., you know, volatility, but also they're assessing what the market sentiment currently looks like at that given moment, and basically debating amongst themselves and then coming up with an overall a position on whether to increase or decrease exposure towards a specific digital asset. And that, I think that for us is very, very exciting. And we are working with a couple of exchanges on building such solutions to allow for, you know, high frequency algorithmic trading that leverages this component of AI, which is not necessarily high frequency in the sense, but can influence the trading patterns of a high frequency trading framework.
It sounds like you're in for a fascinating future. I see maybe a lot of interest coming from these algorithmic traders, given the database that you've accumulated and the scoring system that you've got. I mean, the holy grail does seem to be something that's going to give you an edge in trading, something with a little bit of predictive analytics. Of course, everybody's been trying to pursue that, but it seems like you might be a little bit ahead of the curve on that one. Am I correct?
Yeah, so I would definitely say that, you know, the technologies that we are using, these are very, you know, new technologies, and a lot of the APIs that we leverage are beta APIs. They are still in their infancy, and so we are definitely using techniques that are still more so being developed and learnt about, but are truly exciting in terms of what can potentially be achieved, and we also hold the belief that these models will only exponentially get better, and it is our duty as RiskBloc to understand the foundation. Understand the entire pipeline of getting these things to work, and then ride the wave of the development that will inevitably take place as these models get more and more impressive in terms of how they evaluate huge amounts of data. So we are definitely, I think, in an exciting age where not only do we have blockchain technology becoming more so legislated and going into the mainstream, but we also are seeing artificial intelligence really improving by leaps and bounds at the same time. So we are at an interesting juncture as a team, but I think also as an industry from that perspective.
Well, we look forward to following your progress with great interest. That was a fascinating discussion. Thank you very much, Insfesiza Chidembo, who is the founder and CEO of RiskBloc, for joining us on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.